Mussolini predicted that the Soviet Union would eventually evolve into a fascist state. This was a highly likely possibility and probably would have happened had Hitler not invaded the Soviet Union in 1941, because prior to that, Stalin was a huge admirer of Hitler. However, Mussolini's prophecy has been indirectly fulfilled on a truly massive scale because modern China, the largest nation in the world in terms of population, has made that evolution from communism to fascism. Indeed, China today is a modern fascist state. They have done this by stripping out the idiotic nonsense of a good part of Marxist economics and replaced it with capitalist economics, but not the kind of capitalism that America thinks is so wonderful, more the German and Japanese capitalism of business and government working together with a kind of hybrid economy of government corporations and private corporations. Over all of China is a totalitarian system of control. Now, this is not really all that accidental, because as we have pointed out, fascism has huge deep roots in history going back to the ancient world. Indeed, fascism's roots in history are far deeper than that of the so-called democracy in America and the political systems that are currently in power in Western Europe. We have documented this in our study of Chinese legalism, where under Lord Shang and Han Fei-zhu in ancient China, you have the intellectual framework for totalitarianism. And legalism has been very much a part of Chinese philosophy, as well as Confucianism, for all of Chinese history. Indeed, Mao was a huge admirer of legalism and Lord Shang and the first Chinese emperor. It's also important to note that had Chiang Kai-shek won the Chinese Civil War instead of the communists, China would have immediately become a fascist state. The connection of Chiang Kai-shek to fascism is one of the untold stories of the 20th century. And like many untold stories in 20th century history, the fact that it is untold is not an accident. It is the political manipulation of history for political purposes. A critical force in Chinese history was the German military mission to China. And the reform and reorganization and rearmament of the Chinese army was heavily dependent on the German military mission to China. Chiang Kai-shek was Germany's number one ally from the time of the German military mission to 1938, when Hitler ended the mission as a result of the alliance that Germany had with Japan. This military mission helped enable Chiang to defeat Mao and force the Chinese communists into the Long March. Now, this was not just a military situation, though. Chiang enormously admired fascism and looked to create a fascist state in China. Now, why do you not re and oh, also very important that when Chiang had the opportunity to create his own state in Taiwan, he most definitely did not create a parliamentary democracy. He created a variation of a fascist state in Taiwan. Now, why is this not that well known? It's not that well known because the Chinese-German alliance came apart due to the fact that Ribbentrop, who became Hitler's foreign minister, was very infatuated with Japan. And in 1936, Germany and Japan signed an alliance. In 1937, due to the blundering ineptitude of the Japanese government, the Japanese government blundered into a war with China. So Germany was in the situation where they were in an alliance with one country, and they had military mission with another country, China, and German military advisors were sometimes shooting at Japanese troops. Now, it was a huge blunder on the part of Ribbentrop and Hitler to have abruptly ended the mission altogether, because had they kept the mission going, and they also cut off arms sales at the same time, that eliminated any German leverage in ending the war in China. And the decision of the Japanese to blunder into a war in China would have catastrophic results in the long run for the Axis powers. The confusion about China's political direction, particularly Chiang's, follows the decision in 1938 of the Germans to end their connection with China, because that left China very dependent on America. So a huge propaganda campaign was launched to show that Chiang Kai-shek was in favor of freedom, and U.S. business was, as usual, deeply involved in this. And just as they try to whitewash the current Chinese fascist government, they then tried to whitewash Chiang Kai-shek as a great lover of democracy, etc., etc. And this was all distributed all over America. The U.S. evangelical Christian movement was also hard at work on this, because they were going to save China for Christ, and Chiang Kai-shek professed to be a Christian. And so they launched a huge propaganda campaign that Chiang Kai-shek was the George Washington of China. And things reached a probably utterly nonsensical state with the Why We Fight film edition for China, which was the Why We Fight films was a ludicrous affair in terms of propaganda, but that was a truly priceless, where they claimed that China had never attacked anybody. It was a peace-loving nation throughout its history. Very interesting. And that Confucius had the same ideas as Jesus Christ, you see. So this was, of course, logical that people would go from Confucius to Jesus, and we'd win China for Christ, and so on and so on and so forth. But that was, of course, nonsense. And Chiang Kai-shek showed his true hand when he got to Taiwan by promptly setting up a fascist state and crushing democracy. So fascism is very much alive in China, and we see China evolving probably into more of a fascist direction. There are differences between, say, China and Nazi Germany and Italy, insofar as that the Chinese government is sort of a bureaucratic dictatorship, and it's not clear what the total popular support is, since there's such total and complete repression. But we do see the Chinese government now, and probably more so in the future, whipping up anti-Western nationalism, particularly against the United States, as a means to further justify its grip on power. The future of China remains authoritarian, yes, and China will become even more of a fascist state as time goes on. One of the most interesting things is the secret Chinese eugenics program doing biological research about breeding people. And so this is definitely a fascist structure. And as time goes on, we see this evolving to become more and more like a fascist state. The fairy tales of people like Clinton, that the more we traded with China, the more they'd become a democracy, were just that, fairy tales. But what those fairy tales, political fairy tales, usually have a very malevolent intent, and these most definitely did too, because Clinton and the moneyed elite in the United States, not all the moneyed elite, but a good part of the moneyed elite, are quite willing to deceive the American people about China. It's interesting that Clinton claimed, as the leader of America, that China was America's strategic partner. And if you read a lot of the hot air of the American leadership elite, they are always talking about the strategic relationship with China, and the fact that China is the linchpin of the American-Chinese relationship is the linchpin of the New World Order. Well, think about that. The linchpin of so-called democracy America's New World Order is the number one fascist state in the world today. Just think that through about what that says about the world future. So fascism is very much alive in China, and getting stronger. And as China becomes stronger, the whole structure of an authoritarian Asia comes more and more into view. That is the end of this lecture.